Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, good evening. Welcome to Motivate My Life Radio. I'm your host, Teresa Murphy, and today's topic, the marriage sequel, part two. I'm not sure if you tuned in to the marriage sequel, part one. However, if you did miss the show, you can conveniently listen to the show by logging into www.blogtalkradio.com/motivate my life. And today we do have some guests with us that will be joining us for the marriage sequel. We have Kenyatta McCambry. Hello, Kenyatta.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for having me.
We have Kiwana Jackson. Hello, Kiwana.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for having me as well.
And we have Sharon Mabry. Hello, Sharon.
Hi, everyone.
Awesome. Well, again, I want to thank you ladies for joining me again for this segment of the marriage sequel. And what we're going to do this time is we had such a great response and feedback from the last show. A lot of people, women particularly, had questions. So I'm going to start off by asking some of the questions that were emailed directly to me that a lot of the listeners would like to know the answer to or how you may handle the situation if you were in those shoes. So today's first question is, are you okay with your spouse having friends of the opposite sex? And if you're not okay, you can just tell me why. And if you are okay, tell me why are you comfortable with your spouse having friends of the opposite sex. So, Kenyatta, I'll start with you.
Well, no, I'm not okay with it, and I don't think that my husband is either. I'm going to say he's not. And the reason for you know, the reason for that is because most people, they have motives, and we truly believe in keeping our circle tight. Now, when we speak of married couples, that's different because we're all friends and we're friends with one another. But as far as I'm concerned, for me to have a male friend or male companion outside of the marriage, I know there's a motive. All friendships, there's a motive. Whether it's two women,
okay,
two men, you know, a man and woman, it's always a motive behind a relationship. And sometimes that motive may not be up front and, you know, at the forefront, but eventually that motive will come out. And it's not to say that you can't have, I'm only speaking for me, saying that you can't have friends of the opposite sex, but for me and my spouse, we're comfortable keeping our circle tight. And again, it leaves less room for other things to enter into that relationship.
Okay, great. So so basically, just to kind of reiterate what you're saying, Kenyatta, is you're not okay with your spouse having, or yourself for that matter, having friends of the opposite sex because you feel that there's always a motive. And I just kind of want to just say a comment on that as well. And to tell you, I kind of can say I can agree with that. However, I do want to just make a point, too, as well. And this is a point about myself and my spouse. Well, I do have, personally, I have male friends that are, of course, opposite sex, that were my friends prior to me getting married. And the reason why I'm bringing this up, because just so we can have an open discussion about the situation. Well, these were friends that I had prior to getting married, and they have become a part of our circle pretty much. So my husband was well aware of who they are. There was never any type of relationship with me or any of these other individuals, and he was okay with that. Now, of course, basically, if there were some other male friends, I'm sure he would definitely have a problem with that. So I'm just making that clear. That the male friends that I do have, they are basically, they have become me and my husband's friends. So they're not just his friends. My friends, they're his friends as well. So I don't know, because I personally would have a problem with my husband having friends as well of the opposite sex, because I feel like, to me, that I'm agreeing with you, there is always a motive on someone's behalf. If it's not the man's behalf, a motive, there could be a motive on the woman's behalf. So just don't open up that door. And in this case,
absolutely.
You know what I mean? But in this case, these were friends that I actually had. They were no secrets whatsoever, and they have been friends from day one, and they are a part of both of our lives at this point. And so, Sharon, tell me, how do you feel about your spouse having friends of the opposite sex and vice versa? And if you're okay with it, why? And if you're not okay with it, why?
I'm actually okay with it. I just feel like we definitely had separate lives before we met, and we established relationships before we met. So for me to go in and for him to come into my life and say, hey, I'm married now, and hey, we have to, quote unquote, now kind of separate from those that loved us or close to us beforehand. I don't agree with it. If the relationship with his friends of the opposite sex to me becomes what I think is unhealthy, then yeah, I'll have concern about it, and then that's when I would speak to my husband. But at the end of the day.
Can I interrupt you real quick, Sharon? I'm sorry, and I don't mean to interrupt you. I want to ask you this before I lose my train of thought. But why let it get to an unhealthy point? And I'm asking this just for our listeners that may want to know that. Why allow it to may even get to an unhealthy point? Because when that door is open, you're basically kind of almost allowing it that it could get that far. And why would you even, you know, open that door for it to be able to get that far?
Well, why close the door? Why close the door? I don't know. I just feel like certain things deserve a chance. And hey, if he had a life before me, I'm trying not to, you know, alter that lifestyle too much.
But Sharon, don't you think it's safe to say when you get married, your lifestyle should be altered?
Of course. I didn't say don't change it at all. I was saying don't change it too much. Yeah, definitely. And at the end of the day, I just know my husband's personality and my personality is very sociable people. And there are times when, honestly, we just don't have new friends. You know, if there's not new, you know, women or men coming in from the opposite sex, these are things that or relationships that we already established when, you know, we pretty much met. And at the end of the day, I do agree with you. Once we became married, then everybody became friends. So and they became a part of our circle.
Okay.
So it really, I guess I haven't had a situation where it's been a major concern to me.
Okay. And so, Kiwana, let's get your input. Now, you heard Kenyatta's input. You pretty much heard Sharon's. You've also heard what my input is. What is your input on, are you okay with your husband having friends of the opposite sex and vice versa? And if you are okay with it, why? And if you are not okay with it, why?
I think that it's a balancing act. There are some, like, I believe that we can have friends of the opposite sex, but I agree with Kenyatta in some terms, and then I agree with you and Sharon. Like I said, it's a balancing act. It's like kind of like a tightrope walk, because there are going to be some people that, you know, don't have the marriage or the spouse's interest at best heart, and then there are some people that are on board because they are, you know, sincerely and wholeheartedly friends. And you kind of have to have that discernment and that kind of eye open to see if that's really the case or not. Now, we both have to know the people. And if we don't feel comfortable with it, that's when, you know, I kind of lean towards what my husband says. If he doesn't feel comfortable with a guy friend of mine, thinking that maybe the friendship is a little bit too, you know, too friendly, and you know what I mean by too friendly, and if, you know, he feels that way, then I'm going to have to fall back. I'm for sure going to have to fall back. I've had friends that I've told, you know, I can't, you know, continue this, you know, friendship with you because it makes my husband uncomfortable. And they have gotten upset. They felt away, but it is what it is, because at the end of the day, I got to sleep with him. I got to go home to him. I got to pay bills with him. I don't live, sleep, or make money with you. So
I have to kind of go by what makes him comfortable. And the same thing on my end. If there's a female that makes me uncomfortable and she's a little bit too friendly, way too friendly, she got to go. So we give each other that respect, but it is a balancing act because I do have some male friends that my husband is known, and we're cool. Like, we're more like family than just friends. So, like I said, it's definitely a tightrope walk for me.
Okay, so listeners, there you have it. You have a variety of opinions in how the wives and husbands actually deal with or answer that question. And I think it's personal preferences based on each marriage. So I don't think there's a right or wrong answer for that. I don't think anybody that has answered the question is right or wrong. I pretty much think it's based off of particular marriages. And can you guys say you agree with that?
I totally agree. Yeah, I do.
Absolutely.
Okay. So we'll move on to, and I hope that was helpful for the young lady that actually emailed me that question. And so we'll move on to the next question, which is, are you okay with your spouse going on vacations without you? And vice versa, is your spouse okay with you going on vacation without him? And I'll start out with Sharon. If you can just answer the question, are you okay with your spouse going on vacation without you? And if you're not okay with it, why? And if you are okay with it, why? And vice versa.
I am totally okay with it. He probably needs a vacation from me right now. Because I can honestly be a piece of work, you know. But, you know, I do, me and my husband do a lot together. Like, we, you know, from cooking to shopping to, you know, attending to our kids, we actually do so much together that I embrace the opportunity where we're able to break away and just kind of have our own space and kind of just be, you know, free-willy, you know, to ourselves. But I definitely embrace out, hey, I take him shopping to get a couple new outfits. So I love it when he, we both have that opportunity to get away from the norm and to, you know, to be able to enjoy, you know, our outside circles.
Okay. And so, Kiwana, are you okay with your husband going on vacation without you? And is he okay with you going on vacation without him? If you're not okay with it, why? And if you are okay with it, why?
We've taken a few vacations apart from each other, and we were both comfortable with it because we're not, you know, little kids anymore. We're not in our... Not that we're little kids, we're not young adults where, you know, you get into mischief because, you know, you someone's attracted to you or because you're doing something that you know they may not like, but you think that you can get away with it sort of thing. You know, we're well both past that stage. So when we go on vacation, if it's a separate vacation, it's usually for me an all-girls vacation. And we're just all kind of in the same mindset, just relaxing, getting away, letting our hair down a little bit. But we all know that we're not, you know, out to do anything that's going to be disruptive to our family's life. And as far as my husband, he literally just goes away to get away and just to relax and, you know, smoke his cigars and hang out with his guys and, you know, do him. And most of the time his trips kind of turn into business trips, looking, you know, at other alternatives, you know, to kind of spice up what he's doing currently with his company. So for him, it usually turns into a business trip some kind of way. With me, it's definitely warranted for me to just let my hair down, smile a little bit more, be more happy and comfortable in my skin. So, yeah, we're cool with that. We're definitely cool with that. But we also make time to take vacations together as well.
Which is very important. And so, Kenyatta, are you okay with your spouse going on vacation without you, and vice versa? Is he okay with you going on vacation without him? And if you are okay, why? And if you are not okay, why?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Okay. Absolutely not. I can honestly say that we have never been on vacation without one another. And I have to say that It's both of us. That's what I'm comfortable with, and that's what he's comfortable with. We've never been on vacation without one another. It's usually he and I, and then we take a separate vacation where we take us and our family. And I think the reason behind that, the main reason, is because when we're home. We get plenty of me time. He does whatever it is that he needs to do. He spends plenty. He goes and hangs out with his friends, and I do the same. And so it's not one of those things where, okay, we need a break from each other. We do need a break from each other, but we just choose other ways to take those breaks from one another. So
let me interrupt you really quickly. Mm-hmm. Let me interrupt you really quickly. So you never get that moment where you just want to let your hair down without your husband and go on a trip maybe with a girlfriend or something like that where you guys can shop and go to the spa and just kind of have girl time? Or you basically are saying that that's not your preference. Any trip that you take, it has to include your husband.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. It's just not a preference for me, and it's just not really something that I particularly, you know, I really just don't think about it because, like, again, as I said, when I'm home, I can do that at any time, whether it's a day, you know, I go spend a day with a girlfriend, or I'm, you know, and again, my preference is really not to, I don't want the listeners to take this the wrong way. I'm just not the type of person who really like to have the company of a bunch of women. I'm just not. And again, if I choose to go with one of my girlfriends and we spend the day, we go shopping, that I have no problem doing. And then we take vacations as well with other couples. And so in those times, it's the same thing. You know, the men might get together and us women, we might break up, we go apart and go off. You know, that's all I need. And I can honestly say that my husband, I'm sure he feels the same. And we've been doing this for 20 years. So, and it works for us.
And then again, I mean, I guess, that's why we're having this conversation, and that's what the show is all about, different views on marriages that work for the actual marriage. So, again, there's no right or wrong answer. It's about what works for your marriage because we do know one size does not fit all. And
exactly.
I want to chime in a little bit on that question as well because me personally, my husband and I don't take a lot of trips separate, but do I want to take every trip with him? No, not really. So I do have my moments. Well, you know, I'm okay with just make it a habit of it. No, but, you know, if the girls want to go and, you know, a girlfriend wants to go out of town for a short weekend, I mean, I wouldn't go halfway across the country, of course, probably not without my husband. But if the girls want to go away for the weekend and just kind of just get some girl time in and it's not repetitious, I am pretty much okay with it, and I think my husband is okay with it as well, as long as he's okay with the friends. So, again, I think go ahead.
And I have learned this because I've been on vacation with my separately from my husband for a couple of times, and I can tell you, you know, that old saying, absence makes the heart grow fonder. That's just so it just rings home to me in my situation. But, you know, when I come back, it's like the bond between me and my husband has been strengthened because he kind of sees what mommy goes through, you know, from day-to-day activities, from cooking to preparing the food to getting the kids, you know, together. He has to take responsibility when mommy is away. So it kind of makes him appreciate me as a mom and as a wife, you know, just a little bit more, you know, those times that I do get a chance to get away.
And, you know, FYI, Sharon, it's different, you know, different strokes for different folks, and it's personal preference based on, because like my husband, he actually, his job is being away from home. So a lot of times, I agree with you definitely on absence makes the heart grow fonder, because a lot of times he's gone 2-3 days straight because of the nature of his work. And I look so forward to seeing him when he comes back. But I can say it doesn't bother me. His occupation doesn't bother me to be gone 2-3 days straight sometimes because at the end of the day, that works for my marriage. And so I'm excited to see him when it's time for him to come home. So, again, you know, personal preferences, and that's, what the show is all about. So we'll move forward to the next question. The next question is, this was emailed in a week ago. How do you handle if your husband doesn't like your friends or that one closest friend that you hang with all the time? Do you end the friendship or do you continue with the friendship against how your husband feels? And I will start with you, Kenyatta. How do you handle if your husband doesn't like your friends if you have experienced that, would you continue with the friendship or would you end the friendship with that individual?
I would definitely have to say that I would end that friendship. And the reason why is because I trust my husband. Tanya is very important to me. And I know that people on the outside can see what you can't see. And so when we tend to be in relationship and we're involved in that relationship and whatever might be going on or taking place in that relationship, we tend to be emotional. And so when things may take place or go on, we may not see those things, but someone on the outside can see those things. And my husband being one of those people who I do trust his opinion, if he came to me and he said, look, this is what I see, I'm going to take heed to what he's saying to me. Now, I'm not saying that would be the case with anyone on the outside, but I know for a fact with my husband, I trust his opinion to say, look, this is what I see, this is unhealthy.
So what if it's that, and excuse me for interrupting you, but what if it's that one friend that he just can't justify to you? Because if my husband comes to me and he says he has a problem with this friend that I have and he absolutely just doesn't like her, I need him to tell me why. Because I just can't go in my friendship because you have a problem with a friend. You need to tell me why. If you see something I don't see, I need you to tell me what is it that you see. Because if this is someone that I've built a relationship with that I have not had any types of issues with, at that point, I'm going to need him to at least tell me why is it that you have a problem with this friend prior to me just ending that friendship. And then it depends on the nature of the friendship. So if it's a friendship that a new friendship, that might be a little bit different. But if this is a long-term friendship and he just has a problem with the friendship, I just need him to tell me why before I just in that friendship, because that's a bond that I'm going to have to break based off of his opinion. And he may not like the person just because we do know at the end of the day, there are a lot of men that just don't want their wives to have friends, period. So they'll find something wrong with everyone, if you understand what I'm saying. So,
right. But let me go back and say this. When I say I trust my husband's opinion, that is exactly what I'm saying. I trust my husband not to come to me in, like what you say, if it's someone that I've been friends with for a long period of time. You have to know your spouse too. I know that he's not going to come to me and dip out of the blue, out of no man's land, and say, look, this is what I see, and you know, you got to end the friendship. And I know that first of all, he's not going to approach it that way. First of all, he's my husband is very observant, so he's going to observe for a while before he even opens his mouth. And then I know his approach to me will be, okay, honey, this is what I see going on. And he will give me the option to say, okay, look, what are you going to do? I know he's not going to come to me and be like, oh, well, you need to drop that friend. And, you know, that's not how it's going to go down. You know,
okay.
I know that's not how that's going to go down. But when I say I trust his opinion, I know that if he says something, okay, I need to go look into it. I need to go and see exactly what he's talking about. Because again, sometimes people will see what you don't see. But again, I agree. You understand what I'm saying? I trust him. That
yes,
if he
I
does,
totally agree.
First of all, I know if he comes to me, it's serious. I'm going to know that off the break. I know if he comes to me and he says something, so I know I need to go and I need to look into this. And I have to say that has never happened in our relationship. And
okay.
Just even, let me say, on just the last couple of questions that you asked, a lot of them I really have to honestly say I haven't truly experienced myself. And I think a lot of it being before me and my husband, when we came together, we didn't have those, like what we were talking about with the opposite friends. We didn't have that. So we came into the relationship that way. So, and, you know,
okay.
Just a couple of questions that you're asking, I think it goes back to how did it begin? to what relationship that you guys have built with one another. And so this question to me is the same thing. Well, we never really had that situation because when once you marry, to me, once you get married, your life changed, your friends changed, a lot of things changed. So for me personally, I haven't really had that situation where I had my husband really had to come to me and say, look, this friend, because I've gone through those things with someone else, but I was able to see for my own self. I didn't really need my husband coming to me and say, you know.
Yeah, and a lot of things, too, you know, Kenyatta, are, you know, because a lot of the questions, it may be a lot of things that none of us actually on the call have personally experienced, but just kind of more of how we would handle it if we, you know, actually went through it. And I think that's what a lot of the listeners are really interested in knowing, if we either went through it or how would we handle it if we did go through it. And, again, there's no wrong and right or wrong answer to any of what the discussion is today. It's just what works for your marriage, and that's what's most important. And so the next question, I'll just move forward, and the next question is, how do you handle, I have in-laws that are disrespectful to me, and I feel that my husband does not intervene and put them in their place. So how would you handle disrespectful in-laws that your husband does not stand up for you? Kiwana, I just asked you this question since you didn't get in on the last question. How would you handle the actual listener wants to know, how do you handle in-laws if they're disrespectful to you and your husband does not step in and take your side?
Well, for me, I can honestly answer that I've had a situation pretty close to similar to that. However, my husband has stood up for me because it's our relationship, it's our marriage, it's us. It's not I'm married to his family or he's married to my family. And so I understand that, you know, the husband in this question is not standing up for the person. That's something that person needs to make sure that their husband or wife understands, is that this is about you and I. You and I need to get this right, because if you and I don't get this right, there will be no you and I, because things will fall apart because your family is forcing your hand at it. So that person, you know, whether it be the husband or the wife, as far as the spouse, that person needs to take the family by the hand, by the neck, by the throat, whatever it is, and make them understand that this is who I'm with. And my husband, you know, with him, well, you don't know, but I'm telling you, no. My husband didn't stand for any of the foolishness, because there was a lot of foolishness going on at the very beginning of my marriage, even up to just probably recently as a year ago. It was a lot of foolishness, a lot of, you know, naysay about me and, you know, didn't like me. And at the end of the day, it all boiled down to other people's insecurities. So there are some insecurities on their end that they need to handle it, but the spouse needs to be accountable for the marriage and not for the insecurities of the family members and the in-laws and whoever else has anything negative to say about the marriage. That's just, you know, the way that I would answer that question, because, again, I've walked in those shoes for a very long time. But luckily I had a husband that shut everything down because I wasn't happy what was being said. So he just removed all of us from the situation, so we never had to hear about it, deal with it, until they decided to act like they have good sense in their head.
Gotcha. And so is it safe to say, Kiwana, that in that situation, and this is for people that may have never experienced it, but in that situation, is it safe to say that your husband, because he kind of gets put in the middle, actually,
right?
Because if you have a husband that is really close with his family, and then for whatever the reason is, the family just doesn't like you, and how would the husband handle that? So I guess that would be a great question for when I do the marriage sequel for men, for me to ask that question, because
absolutely,
the reason why I ask, because you have a lot more you have a lot more situations where the male family have a problem with the wife than the actual wife family have a problem with the male. So that's really
absolutely
why I was asking that question. And
absolutely.
So, Sharon, exactly. So, and Sharon, how would you handle that if you had in-laws that were just disrespectful to you and you felt that your husband was not stepping in to take your side or to defend what the situations were of why you were being disrespected?
I would take it very slowly and gently at first because my husband is a husband that doesn't like confrontation. So, and you have to know, you know, your mate. You have to know your spouse. So I have to sit him down and explain to him how it's making me feel. And then I have to sometimes pull in, like I've actually pulled in my father-in-law. So to say, hey, this is the situation. Can you please chat with him? Because at the end of the day, you have to make them see that your bond as husband and wife is your bond as husband and wife. Uh-huh. And no one can break that but you uh-huh. and your, you know, and your spouse. So if you let outsiders come in and to destroy that bond, oh, that's just, I mean, that's just awful. And so you have to make them sometimes see the bigger picture, as in who wakes up with you daily, who celebrates your birthday with you, who's the one that surprises you on your job with lunch. You know, the small things in life that matter, most of the time the in-laws aren't the one that's doing it. Your spouses are the
exactly.
one that's doing it. So you really have to kind of be, well, with my husband, I have to really, really take it slow and make him see the big picture. Because I am a big girl, and I think I can take up for myself. But I do, and you always want your husband to understand where you're coming from, and you want him to always support you 100% because it sends a message. It sends a message
right.
that, you know, our marriage
totally.
Comes first, and then everybody else, you know, comes, you know, in second.
But yeah,
yeah,
it's a
really tough situation.
And I would definitely agree because, and unfortunately, it's like, you know, that your husband sometimes does get put in the middle, but
yeah.
we all know that at the end of the day, what the Bible says, because, you know, your wife, your husband, that comes for anyone. They even come before your kids. And so, you know, a lot of times we don't practice that until it's convenient, but that
yeah.
is what it is, and that if it's a situation where your spouse is uncomfortable, not just your wife, if your husband is uncomfortable in a situation, then your job to me is to basically make sure and cater to your husband's need in that situation, and, you know, and unfortunately
yeah.
you may offend some people. You may offend some people
yeah.
doing so, you know. But
well,
we know
what? And the ones that get offended are the ones that don't have that bond. So I think
exactly.
if you have a healthy marriage,
mm-hmm.
you know, the next person to understand, at the end of the day, they will get
totally.
It. But if they don't have that bond, they'll never get it.
Totally.
And that's okay.
And then, you know,
that's okay if they don't get it.
Exactly. Because actually, that's who becomes your family. And, you know, mm-hmm. I can tell you as being newly married, you know, that's a lot that I had to learn, but that is who becomes your family. So your husband needs come first and foremost, and your wife needs come first and foremost. So like I said, you may offend some people throughout the process, and, hey, it is what it is, but guess what? We know that family, unfortunately, you can't change or pick who your family is. That is what it is. And so,
they become
exactly.
your extended family, to be honest. When you're married, your husband becomes your immediate family. Your wife becomes your immediate family. Your children become your immediate family. Your mom and dad and everyone else, it's kind of weird to put it in these terms, but they become your extended family at that point.
I totally agree.
Left, they become your extended family.
And I think that comes with, you know, I think that comes with, too, with experience and time and things of that nature because, you know, just even for my situation, you know, when I got married, which was just recently, it has been less than 2 years, and my husband's family is all he had. So I was new on the block to this bond that was already formed. So it's
uh-huh.
kind of like, okay, where is my place? And that was his job to define where my place, because I never feel like I'm in competition with your mom, your sisters, your brothers. I just feel like I'm in my own category. So there is no competition where I'm concerned. And I my husband is the same thing. There's no one in my family. It's no competition where my husband is concerned. So he has his own place in my life where no one can compete where his position is. So I think that's important. And so moving
uh-huh.
on, the next question is, do you agree with married couples having separate bank accounts? If you disagree, why? And if you do agree, why? So, Kenyatta, I'll just ask you that. Do you agree with couples having separate bank accounts?
I believe that they should have separate bank accounts, but I believe that they also should have a joint account.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that because for me and my house, I know that our income is one. So we have one main account that belongs to us both, and that's where most of the activity, the bills get paid, and things of that nature. But at the same time, we formed separate accounts. But let me just say this. When those separate accounts came about, we had to have oneness and on the same page into regards of those separate accounts. Because I think once you establish who is the strong person in the relationship when it comes to finances, again, I think that comes along with communication. And so when I say we both have a separate account, the separate accounts are really for us just accounts where we do our weekly activity, whether it's gas, whether it's shopping, whatever, but we both come together as one and agree to what we do with those separate accounts. So it's the same as we're one, but at the same time, we do have something separate to call our own and say, okay, this is for me and this is what I will do, you know, with my account. But let me just say, and I'm going to disregard the word my because me and my husband don't really use that word my because it really fits
okay.
out. Okay. You would probably clap my hand right now if you heard me say my. No, let me not say my. It's our account, but it helped us keep down the confusion in regards to when we have our main account, that's where all the bills are being paid and so forth. So you want to keep that account separate because you don't want chaos to go into that account. That's where the bills are being paid. That's where everything is being handled. So to separate, that's when we say, okay, well, you'll have an account, and this is what we use during the week so that it doesn't interfere with whatever it is. You're trying to save money, you trying to pay your bills, you know, those things. So it's, for us, it just works to keep down the confusion of the finance.
Okay, so then you wouldn't have a problem if your husband just came and said, well, Kenyatta, I need access to your personal account.
No, I wouldn't have a problem. And we do have access. We both have access to one another's account. That's why I said let me rephrase that and not say mine, because it really is ours, but he doesn't use mine, and I don't use his. But if we had to have access to it for whatever reason, we have access to it. But again, that comes with understanding and respect. You know, this is your account.
Okay.
This, you know, that you get X amount of dollars into that account every week. This is yours. Do what you need to do for the week or what have you. And that's the understanding that we have with that. So, no, I don't look at it as this is my account. Don't touch it. And don't you? No. So, in the same way, we just open with it that, okay, if I need to tap into that account, if I need to, that's where the communication comes in at.
Okay. So, in other words, you guys can have separate accounts. However, they're not separate to the point where you would hide the actual account from your husband where he doesn't know that you have the separate account, and if he wanted to have access to the account, you would be okay with it, pretty much, correct?
Absolutely, because there's
okay.
no deception. There's no deception, in that, because then when you start looking at separate, you know, for me, it's deception. Why do you need that? Because now with some couples, that's when questions start to arise. Well, why do you need to have a separate account? And why, you know, it starts confusing. But if there is a respect and you don't cross that respect line, and there will be no confusion.
Correct.
Because
okay.
it's about respect.
And I can agree with that, because there are some married couples that have separate accounts where they don't even know that the other individual has an account. So with that being said, Sharon, I'll ask you the same question. I mean, how do you feel about spouses having separate accounts? I mean, are you okay with that? And if you are, why? And if you're not okay with it, why?
I'm definitely okay with it. And, you know, for my household, we do have, you know, joint account as well, like Kenyatta, and separate accounts. But at the end of the day, I just don't trust anyone with my kids' future. So with that being said, I have accounts where my husband probably don't even know about for my kids. So when Mama Bear leaves, okay, them kids gonna be taken care of. And I'm not to say I'm not saying that as in my hubby won't take care of them, but I don't trust anyone to my kids' future. You know, if I would have to be taken away from them. So does he have access to them? No. If he asked me for it, I give it to him. But it's just not really a major concern in my household. The ones that we do share, of course, we definitely share access to them. But it's not a big topic for us over here. How many accounts I have? I could have a Christmas account. I have a couple of accounts. Hubby has probably no idea what's going on with him.
Well, good for you, because in my household, my husband needs to know about every account, what's in every account. And pretty much if he does not know about the account or what's going on in it, then he feels like, oh, you're hiding something or you're hiding money or what have you. So, again, I guess, you know, that's definitely personal preferences. And so, Kiwana, how do you feel about the topic? I mean, as far as married couples having separate accounts, and if you're okay with it, why? And if you're not okay with it, why?
Well, I'm actually very okay with it. I have my separate accounts. My husband has his separate accounts, and then, of course, we have the joint accounts in which the bills are paid out of, and he'll pay the bills, I'll pay the bills. But the good thing about the accounts that we have, we both know where the money's on, which banks that we, you know, banking institutions that we use outside of our major account. He's actually put money in my account for me. I've put money in his account for him. You know, if he's running short on time or whatever, not that I would, you know, go in and take money or have access to it. I've, you know, given him my card to take money out to put it somewhere else or what have you. So we kind of move money around. But that the object of me having money separate from the major account is so that I can do what I want to do without it affecting or infecting our major account. Things need to get done. We need to be responsible financially. So that account is specifically for that. That major account is specifically for that. But if I want to go and, you know, buy a pair of shoes, or if I want to go and, you know, take a vacation or a trip, it's not affecting that money or the money that he has set aside for maybe, you know, his company or for things that he wants to do personally for himself. So I'm all for it, you know, and I'm always saving money to do something or to go somewhere or to be somewhere or to have something to do, because I get bored very easily.
Okay.
So I need to go in and make myself happy so I don't feel so bored. And get the bad stuff.
Okay, we'll move on to the next question. And the next question is, this individual, her husband lost his job, and she has had to hold it down for, it looks like, 3 months now. So it says 3 months. So the question is, how do you feel, and are you okay if you have to hold the household down, and if your husband, for some reason, loses his financial stability temporarily? How does that make you feel, and are you okay with holding the house down? And then I'll start with you, Kiwana.
I'm totally okay with it. I have actually been in those shoes myself. And at the end of the day, I had to realize that just because I was bringing in the money, my husband actually, we decided that he would be a stay-at-home dad for a few years when we had our daughter, because it just made sense than paying out to a daycare center $500, $600, $800 a month when that money can stay in the household and keep us comfortable. So we actually deliberately made that decision for it to just be myself to go out and make the money. And we were very happy with that. He was still the king of the castle. He was still my husband. But what he did do was he catered to me. I never came home to a dirty home. I come home and, you know, sometimes from a long day and a bubble bath to be ran and candles lit.
dinner would be cooked, the kids would be, you know, homework would be done, the kids were to bed. So for me, that was a benefit. And what you do is you take, you know, lemons and make lemonade out of it. If your husband or your wife is out of work and you're used to that secondary income, utilize the resources that you have. Don't send your kids to daycare. They don't need to go to daycare or outsource anything. You can take that money and put it back into the household. There are ways to save money and be thrifty and still make sure
okay.
that the household is ran, you know, efficiently and economically.
I totally agree. And so, Sharon, how would you feel about holding it down if your husband lost his financial stability and you had to hold the house down, and I mean pay all the bills and take care of the children and so forth? How would that make you feel, and would you be okay with it?
And I hope your listeners don't take it personally, but I think it's a dumb question, honestly, because why would you not want to take care of your spouse? Like, you know, this is the person that
mm-hmm.
you love inside out. Why wouldn't you want to take care of them when they're down?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't even have an answer for it, but,
well,
yeah, I wouldn't have any issues. I wouldn't
well,
have any issues.
Sharon,
with... Okay. I took it the wrong way.
No, I'm laughing because I totally agree with you, and I think at the end of the day, everybody's foundation of marriage is not the same, if that makes sense. So, of course, to, you know, to myself, to you, to Kiwana, to Kenyatta, you know, that's not even an option, you know, to hold it down and in silence and move it forward and do what's best for the family. But it's, unfortunately, you do have marriages that are the foundation is not as strong, if that makes sense, because that was actually a email question to me.
Okay, I got you.
and just to follow up on the question too of her holding it down, she feels that he is not taking enough initiative to look for employment, and all the burden is now being put on me. So,
that frustration, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, what she needs to do is she needs to voice her opinion about, you know, how all of this is making her feel, and not in a way to berate him, but to let him know that, look, you know, this is a partnership, and if you are able to work, then, you know, we should look for opportunities for that to be applicable to our marriage. But if he's disabled or, you know, he's not able to work, you know, that's a different story. But if he's able to work, then she needs to voice her opinion, but in a way that's not going to be demeaning and you know, just kind of dehumanizing what the situation really is. Because he could feel away. He could be depressed. She doesn't know what he's feeling. He doesn't know how she's feeling. So there needs to be that communication there.
Yeah, you know, I think personally, when you go into a marriage, it's about a teamwork. And so you have to go in with that mindset that you might have to hold the house down and just be more blessed, if anything, that you can hold it down if something was to happen where the leader in your household, which most of us consider to be our husband, can't. I don't think I would look at that as not to be a blessing. But, again, you know, different strokes for different folks. And I don't know about I don't look at that as to complain. I look at that as any money that's been spent because my husband's going through a financial challenge, it doesn't matter because it's all our money in the first place. So that tends to sound like more of a separation situation. If the listener is listening on the call, that sounds like a separation situation in a marriage, because that's hands down, no questions asked. You know, we're in a financial bond, and, I mean, vice versa. It could be you that can't contribute again to the household. And
exactly.
I think that's when we get I mean, you know what I mean? And I think that's when we get into that whole male-female thing. No, I think that's equal, because how would you like if someone belittled you if you couldn't contribute to the household? Because it can happen to anyone. Anyone can lose their job. Anyone could have a slow month on business. I mean, that's it's called life. You know what I mean? So if she, you know, if you're listening on the call, I personally definitely would agree with the ladies and say that that should be a team. So you may have to go reevaluate some other things in your marriage and be able to get to that teamwork, because, again, I agree with Sharon, that shouldn't even be a question. So, but it was, and that's what we're here for this evening, is to be able to try to help and answer some of these questions with our own views. And so we'll move on to the next question. So if you feel that your spouse is not handling the finances properly, how would you approach it without offending him or belittling his leadership role in the home? So, Kenyatta, I'll start with you on that question. Would you say something?
Well,
if you feel that your husband is mismanaging money, how would you approach that? What would be your deliverance?
Well, again, and you just said the key word. It's all about deliverance, and it's all about approach. And you have to know your mate, and you have to know what you have to then ask yourself, what do I say so that I do come with the right approach? Because it has to be done. You have to approach the situation. And, again, like you said, you have to be able to do it in a way that you don't offend. And so, again, I think that goes back to knowing your spouse and knowing the words to say and what not to say. That you, because when you know your spouse, you know what offends him. You know what,
yes,
what
totally
what
agree.
Cut, you know, you understand what I'm saying, know this. But at the same time, you also have to be a person who is not afraid of confrontation, or you're not, you can't have any fear, but you know that it has to be addressed. And so you have to be able to do it. And I guess for me, because I have had to have those talks with myself, and it didn't necessarily mean because he was misappropriating the money, or whether I was, or whether we both were, but those discussions we had to have them. And they were what they were. We had to have a discussion. We had to, as we call it, pillow talk. We need to have pillow talk. Let's talk about this. And whether, and again, it's how you do it. Whether you got to set the mood, set
totally
the tone,
agree.
You know,
totally
however,
agree.
You know, plan that thing out and figure out how this is going to go down. But you know that we have to have the talk. And I think you have to bring it in a manner of where he's not the problem. It's the situation that's the problem. And so when
now that's,
you,
okay.
it,
I agree with you,
you approach the situation. You're not approaching your husband.
Okay.
And that's the way he has to see it. And vice versa. Mm-hmm. It, the man or the woman, who it doesn't matter who it is, you are attacking the situation, not the
mm-hmm.
person. And that's mm-hmm. how you have to address it. And you have to, you know, you ask God to give you the words to say that where I that he's able to see what I'm talking about and not be offended and not go into
totally
this
agree.
Thing. You understand what I'm saying? So, and
totally
it,
agree.
You make it like a conversation, any other conversation that you would have with your a loving conversation about anything else. You know, but you both, before you can do that, you both have to be on the same page in communication in regards to your finances so that when you do come together, you got to have that communication piece before you can even think about approaching it any kind of way. Because, you know, once you have that communication piece, when you enter into that conversation, your communication is what's going to allow that conversation to flow. And allow
totally
the conversation to go the way that it needs to go so that it's not belittling, so that it's not offensive to the other person. And, you know, and just for an example, you know, you enter into it. Most people, when they're upset and they're frustrated, when they come up to a person, they come with anger. And so when you come
yes.
with anger, the first thing shoot out your mouth is, why are you doing this? Why will you? Yeah, that's wrong.
And it sounds more like an attack. That's what it sounds
exactly.
like. You're attacking the person. Mm-hmm.
So you figure
I totally
out
agree
you
with
have
that.
To come up with that way of how, I mean, the first word out your mouth, approach, is going to be the outcome of the whole situation. So you walk into
okay.
that thing with love, that love is going to allow you to a situation totally different and say,
uh-huh.
baby, you know, can we talk about, you know, something and, this is a situation, and this, you know, can we talk about this? And you make that
and I don't
feel
important. You still make him feel important. That's what I was going to say, Kenyatta, not to cut you
right.
off. Because that's what women have to understand. You know, we all are not cut from the same cloth. That's why men and women don't think alike, and we all definitely have different views. And women, of course, are more emotional about things. And so with that being said, your husband – can get emotional too. He just doesn't wear it on his sleeve. And the worst thing you can do,
exactly,
yeah, and the worst thing you can do if he's going through something financially, because the most real men, I'll say that, you know, that's important to them to be able to take care of their household and to be able to lead their household and to make sure everybody and everything in the household is okay. And
right.
It does not matter if you, yeah, it doesn't matter if you step up and say, I got it. He still needs, in his mind, he has to make sure it's okay. So what you don't need to do is kind of like, I guess, you know, kick him while he's down, so to speak, in that situation. And I think a lot of women, and if you're out there listening, you really need to be careful with that situation because, you know, you don't kick your husband down, you massage him when he's down. And I know that comes with experience, but you massage him and you tell him every day that things are going to be okay because, believe it or not, everything that you say to him derogatory, he already feels it. He just doesn't verbalize it like we would verbalize it. So because your husband's not walking around the house, you know, mad and kicking things and, oh, my God, I'm not working, I don't have a job, it does not mean he's not affected by what's going on. They just don't show their emotions the way that we would actually show them. But give them that time and let them know, more importantly, that you will be there for them no matter what. And I think that comes from support.
And can I just say this one thing? When you talking to your spouse, the one thing that I know that has worked for me in that approach is suggestions. Instead of you going to your spouse saying, you know, or telling, because it's a difference, you telling him one thing, but when you come to him in a loving manner and you suggest, well, honey, what do you think about this? What do you, because you want him to think that you know, this is my opinion, because you don't want him to think, well, you're not telling, why are you telling me what to do? So it's all about your words. It's the words that you use that come across.
And you know what,
Kenyatta,
they need to feel like they made the decision at the end of the day.
Absolutely.
Seriously, I mean, how many times have you tried to tell your husband what to do and things just go totally left? So, I mean, I learned that real quick. I mean, even if you already made your mind up about how the situation should go, if you let them think that they've made the decision, I promise you, you know, things will go a lot easier and a lot smoother. And so, because most of the time, you know, they feel like you're telling me what to do, and most men don't respond well to that.
Absolutely.
So, you know, so going to the next question, this is a really good topic. Romance. How often do you feel that you should have sex with your spouse within 1 week time frame? My husband and I had a great sex life prior to marriage, and now that we have been married 4 years, we hardly ever have sex. Sometimes it's only once every 2 to 3 weeks. So how often should you have sex? Well, honestly, I don't think there's a time frame on that. That's my personal opinion, but I'm going to let you ladies talk about that.
Because
I don't
know if
it's a schedule.
I'm going to go ahead and nip this in the bud for everybody. Let me nip this in the bud for everybody, and I need y'all to listen real, real good. Whenever you want it, that's when it's supposed to go down, because you should never let your man leave home thirsty. And so whenever he wants it and whenever you want it, that's when it's supposed to go down. End of subject.
Okay, well, there you have it, ladies. Kenyatta McCain, we said whenever your man wants it, because your man should never leave home thirsty. But, Kenyatta, in this situation, it sounds like the wife is the thirsty one and the husband is not meeting the sexual need. So in that case, how would you handle that?
You have to go in. First of all, you need to communicate that, and you need to let them know. And know that you as the wife have done everything that you could possibly do to communicate that across to your husband. And that's for both sides, because you can have a thirsty husband or you can have a thirsty wife. You know, it could go both ways and for different reasons. But what people, the sexual part, the romance of the relationship is the bond of the relationship. So if you're not bond, if that's not going on, there's no bond. You understand what I'm saying? When two, when man and woman come together, that's why you come together. God said you come together as one. That's when that oneness takes place.
And so, let me ask you this really quickly. Not to cut you off. So, what would your answer be? How many times per week do you think that that bond should be shared?
You know, I cannot put a number on it because I don't look at it as putting a number on it. I look at it as when needed, because some people need it more than others.
It's a prescription. It's a prescription. And take as needed.
Take it, make it. Okay? And as a woman, you know, and that's on both sides. You know, because if you have one who's not as sexual, okay, it's all good. Fake it until you make it. You might not feel like it tonight.
But let me ask you this, ladies. What do you do if someone in that marriage has a low sex drive? I mean, someone, the husband or the wife, one sex drive may not be as high as the other one. So what do you do in that case? And you just
You need to figure it out. You need to figure out why the sex drive is low.
There's foreplay. Use foreplay till you can't use it no more. Use foreplay till you make the person's hair stand on the back of their neck. Use foreplay for everything. Because I'm telling you, in your 40s, you don't feel like it, but you make yourself feel like it. Because if I send my husband out there in the street and he didn't get what he want, there may be a woman out there that can sniff that out and determine it. Even though he's not saying it and he's not showing it, women know. Other women know. So you want to make sure you take that prescription as needed. Just like when you got to take medicine that tastes disgusting, you don't like it, it's the worst tasting medicine, you take that medicine because you want to feel better. You want to make your spouse feel better, so you take that prescription as needed.
I totally agree. Actually, I think it's rather funny because, again, I'm just going to say there's no number on it. And, you know, I feel like, I mean, now, I think a lot of people do, I think this is safe to say that a lot of people do, sometimes when they get married, they get comfortable. And they feel like, well, all the work I put in and the flips that I turned and the dances that I did, I no longer have to do because I'm married. And actually, I think that's the total opposite. So I feel like you want to keep that spice in your marriage and, you know, whether you have an alter ego or whatever the case scenario is, and it just keeps it fun. So, and if your husband's not responding, then maybe you need to try to get a little bit creative and see if he will respond, you know, to that. Because we can't get in those set situations where we're used to doing it this way and things of that nature. So that takes me to the next question that is really this question here. I don't know if none of us on this call is ready for, but I'm going to answer it because it was asked to Motivate My Life Radio. And that question is, would you bring another female in the bedroom with you and your husband? I'm not done with the question. I'm not done with the question, ladies. Would you bring another female in the bedroom with your...
Absolutely not.
Ladies?
I'm listening.
Oh, you ladies are just, like, hilarious. So, anyway, and I know that has to be Mrs. McCambry. But would you bring another female in the bedroom with your husband? And if so, why? And if not, why? So, Kenyatta, we've already heard your answer, obviously. And so this is if your husband has requested. Well, has your husband requested it? And if he has, would you consider doing something of that nature? So, listeners, we definitely heard Mrs. McCambry's answer, and the answer is no. So we will move right along. Sharon, what is your answer on that question?
So there's no swearing on the radio, so I'll just say no. And but where did I do that in the Bible? I'm just confused. But anywho.
I don't know.
So, and those that do, you know, invite that, I'm just wondering, well, what happens when your husband likes those other cookies better than your cookies? He doesn't want your cookies anymore. So I don't want to put that stress on my husband. So
let me tell you something, Sharon. First of all, I'm not even gonna open the door for him to test the water. Because, honey, the only cookie you gonna get is that cookie you living with, honey. The cookie out this jar. that you live with, because, you know, to me, I'm with you on that, you know, what did happen to what's in the Bible. And I just, personally, hey, if it works for your marriage, great. But this is Teresa Murphy. It does not work for mine. And I think personally that can cause a lot of situations in your marriage that you may not be ready to deal with. So I don't think that is you just have to be, I think, and then I think, hey, each is to its own. You know, in my mindset, hey, I'm with you, Sharon. Hell, you might like a cookie better than mine, so you're going behind my back and get a cookie today. Oh, no. So, and then I've opened up this door for you to get the cookie. So, you know, I don't know. I just think that, again, ladies, this is just real discussion, and I think that's personal preference again. So I don't think there's a right or wrong answer. I'm basically with just voicing our opinions. And so, Kiwana, what do you think about that? Like, would you be okay with it, or would you?
I'm a selfish bitch, and that's too much confusion in my life, because all sorts of mishaps can happen. Somebody can get accidentally pregnant. Somebody can fall in love. I just think about all of the optimism that can happen in a situation like that. And for people that, you know, are in that lifestyle, they may have had things worked out. There may be a contract involved. I ain't got time for all of that. I'm very selfish. I like my husband to myself. You can look, but you can't touch, because if I catch you touching, now we got another set of problems. So, no, absolutely not. No, man, no, don't think about it. Don't even ask me. If you want to ask me, now we got a problem. Now you and I got a problem. If you don't ask me, I done told you no to. So, no.
Calm down, Keisha.
That is.
No.
Kiwana, if we knew any better, I mean, we would just think somebody pissed you off. But anyway, that's funny. Ladies, we're going to wrap it up, and we're going to wrap it up. Unfortunately, we do have about, let's see, looks like I have about 14 other questions that we won't be able to get to tonight. So I don't know. We may have to do a marriage sequel part 3, and I will keep you guys, of course, updated on that, because a lot of these questions I would like to get answered. It's actually, I think, a great segment and a great show. But I want to wrap up with this, and this is Teresa's question. What do you love the most about your spouse? And I'll start with you, Kenyatta.
What do I love the most? And I would have to say,
you only get one thing, Kenyatta.
I'm gonna have to say his loving temperament, because he is a very, very loving man.
Awesome. And Kiwana, what would you say you love the most about your spouse?
I would actually have to say, kind of in the same answer as Kenyatta. I just love his temperament. Like, it doesn't, you know, he really, truly loves me, asks me how my day goes. Like, he really is in tune with my emotions and just making sure that I'm happy, and he puts me before he puts himself. So I would have to say it's definitely his temperament and characteristic.
Awesome. And Sharon, what is it that you love the most about your spouse?
Just one thing?
Just one thing, Mrs. Mabry. I'm sorry.
I actually love that he's a God-fearing man. I think it's so attractive to see him on his knees praying. So I think that's what I love most about him.
Awesome. So, and I will, and I'm going to ask this question, and then we will wrap up, because I think that this is really important too as well. And I do plan to have a show for the men, because, you know, we always give our point of view on how we feel and what our view is and how we think things should be. But I think it's really important, too, sometimes for those men to be able to tell us their point of view, because their voices aren't really heard like ours are. So, and what would your husband say? What is the, if he could just say one thing, and it may be 20, but I just need one. What is the one thing that your husband would say he loves the most about you, Kenyatta? Kenyatta, are you there?
Okay, I'm here.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Okay.
Repeat that question for me.
What is the one thing that your husband loves the most about you? And just like one thing that you would, that would come to your mind.
He says that I give him a run for his money, and he likes a good challenge.
Awesome. Awesome. And so, Sharon, what is the one thing that your spouse will say he loves the most about you?
He loves,
yes,
to say that he loves my passion.
Okay. Only one thing, Sharon.
No, he'll say that he loves my passion. I'm just so passionate about, you know, different things. And, yeah, he loves my passion about different things.
Awesome. Hey, Kiwana, what's the one thing that your spouse would say he loves the most about you?
That I'm consistent and just being who I am. I don't try to be anyone else. I don't try to, you know, fit in and get in where I fit in. Where he works, you know, with a lot of different type of personalities, and everyone's always changing, you know, just to kind of fit into whatever the situation is. So for him to come home to that, that's what he loves about me. I speak my mind, I tell him like it is, and he tells me what he thinks, and we kind of confide in each other, and that communication is there, but I don't change. Like, I'm always the same person.
Okay, awesome. Well, ladies, looks like we're going to wrap up the show. And, again, we do have a lot more questions that really do need to be answered for our listeners out there. And, unfortunately, we can't ask and get all of them answered tonight. So we may move forward with a part three to the show. So with that being said, we'll wrap up. But before we wrap up, I do want to let people know kind of what you guys have going on and how they may can be in contact with you. Sharon Mabry is the owner and event director of Colette Purple Event Planning. And if Sharon, if you could just tell people what is your Instagram and Facebook handle and how they can get in contact with you if they would like to have an event planned or invitations made or whatever have you in the event planning world.
Whatever event that needs managing, I'm the one to call. You can reach me on Instagram. My hashtag is SMABRY1. That's SMABRY1. I'm also on Facebook. My business page is Your Purple Event, as well as Twitter. On Twitter, I am CIPE_Sharon. That's SHARRON.
Okay, great. Kiwana is the aspiring author of Simply Lace, which is a great love novel, will be released this summer. And Kiwana, can you please tell them how they can reach you and kind of follow what you have going on, including the any information about your book release?
Yes. My Instagram is under I am_simply_key. You can also reach me on Twitter at MyKeySuccess, and also on Facebook under Simply Lace. Hit Simply Lace, and that will be, it will direct you to my fan page. And it should be coming out. I want to say that we want to look to release it late summer, early fall, the very latest, according to just getting everything in its proper perspective in place. That's what we're looking for. So look out for K.N. Jackson and Simply Lace coming to you no later than this fall.
Awesome. We're looking forward. And Miss Kenyatta McCambry is the owner of Closet Contour Designs, and it is your pop-up boutique that is a consignment as well as boutique. And so, Kenyatta, can you tell us, or just tell the listeners how they can reach you and what is your website address to be able to go online and kind of, if they want to purchase anything or just kind of look around for any of the great in-fashion styles for Closet Contour Boutique?
Well, you can reach me, you can see me on Facebook at Closet Couture Designs, and that's Designs with an S, and I'm also on Twitter at CCD Boutique, and my website is also Closet Couture Designs, And you can also email me if you have any questions at info@closetcouturedesigns.com.
And let me just tell you, she just has some great items in stock. She does, and I am basically one of her favorite clients.
She has
styled me a couple of times, so she does. So get out there and check it out. Okay, ladies, I want to thank you again for joining Motivate My Life Radio. It has definitely been a pleasure. And if we don't have any more questions from any of you, we'll go ahead and wrap up. I will be in contact as far as moving forward on segment 3 because it looks like we are going to need one more segment just to wrap up the Marriage Life sequel. So I thank you again, and please do have a great weekend on purpose.
Have a great weekend, everyone. Thank you for having me.
Have a great weekend. Thank you.
Have a great weekend. Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.